Welcome to Arin Podcast Luxembourg, our podcast channel that explores the latest legal and regulatory updates in Luxembourg by weighing in on our experts' profound experience. We are introducing our new podcast series, All About Private Debt. Our experts from different practice areas come together with guest speakers to debate hot topics in the private debt market.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this new episode of our Private Debt podcast series. My name is Nicolas Bouvray. I'm a partner in the investment management practice at Arendt. Today, we are going to talk about securitization vehicles. So this is a subject which is particularly relevant for debt funds, but we are going to go a bit beyond debt funds today. Securitization vehicles have been used widely in Luxembourg. The securitization law dates back from 2004. They've been used for structuring private debt funds, so as investment holding vehicles, but also sometimes as access vehicles or feeder vehicles, and obviously also as standalone products, investment products. So why talk about it now? Well, we thought it would be good to give you a quick refresher on how these structures are used. But also, we wanted to take the opportunity of the amended law of 2004 to give you an overview of the new structuring flexibilities that are open with the amendments, so the modernization of the law. For that, today with me, I have Mathieu Triandet, who's a partner in our banking and financial services team, and Vincent Malher, a partner in our tax team. So let's start with securitization vehicle in a fund structuring context. As I was saying, they have been quite commonly used. There is always a variety of choice in Luxembourg when structuring holding vehicles, and this is a typical discussion that we have for each fund, at least when structured as a partnership, which is the most common fund vehicle format right now in the private debt fund industry. So we will look at different options, a simple SARL or a securitization vehicle or other forms of holding vehicles. And these vehicles are usually quite simple. They are governed by Luxembourg law, so typically not a vehicle falling under the securitization regulation, so no tranching, a quite simple structure. My first question goes to Mathieu. Could you, Mathieu, maybe tell us a bit more about how the securitization vehicles are used as structuring vehicle, as investment holding vehicle, and what are the advantages?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Nicolas. And good morning, everyone. Indeed, securitization vehicles are the perfect vehicles to acquire or even issue debt in the format of a debt fund. The SV, securitization vehicle, was conceived to securitize debt portfolios. It is therefore the go-to vehicle to structure the acquisition of debt, it being simple loans or portfolios. And we see it being used very often in these debt fund structures. We've got very simple structures where the SV is being plugged under the fund itself and is being used as the acquisition vehicle for the portfolio. We see it also being used in a number of transactions where the SV is being used in order to directly grant loans. We have the possibility indeed for SVs to grant directly loans in a number of circumstances, which needs to be, let's say, foreseen and described into the documentation, but which remain quite flexible. So that is the perfect vehicle to acquire or issue directly loans.
Thanks, Mathieu. Maybe turning to you, Vincent, what can you say about the tax treatment in Luxembourg of these securitization vehicle?
Sure, thank you, Nicolas. Good morning, everyone. Securitization vehicle is a very flexible vehicle tax-wise. We know for years that in Luxembourg you have real flexibility due to the fact that the commitments toward the investors are fully deductible for tax standpoint. So the idea is to have a neutral vehicle in order to avoid any friction and to within the context of the transfer of risk to the investors. within the context of a debt funds and debt activity, it's a real efficient vehicle. Despite the fact that we had the introduction of the interest limitation rules, we preserve the possibility to have a neutral position of the securitization vehicle, save for very limited transfer pricing constraints. And this is one of the, I would say, the advantage of the securitization vehicle is to be less subject to constraints in terms of transfer pricing aspects. So this is really a useful vehicle in that respect. Of course, it's always a case-by-case analysis in order to ensure that using a securitization vehicle is appropriate. We all know that this neutral position we try to achieve could be in the source country sometime discussed compared to a standard SARL. But this is something to have in mind, to consider, but completely in line with Mathieu and the fact that we use that very often, and this is clearly one of a key tool in Luxembourg within the context of the debt and standard debt activity.
Thanks, Vincent. So I think indeed this is really the most common use, let's say, of SVs in a private debt fund context. But I also wanted to turn quickly on another use of these vehicles that we see still in the context of a private debt fund. That is the SV being used as kind of access vehicle or repackaging solution for an existing private debt fund. And indeed, some investors, we know that they prefer to invest in notes, so not in fund interest, but notes. It may be for regulatory purposes or other purposes. And the securitization vehicle offers this flexibility to securitize fund interests. So question for you, Mathieu, can you talk a bit about recent experiences that you had with these kind of structures and what you see in the market?
Yes, indeed. And as you just mentioned, for regulatory reasons, some clients, some investors cannot invest into equity or equity-like instruments. And so they need to invest into debt. We mentioned before the use of the securitization vehicle as the acquisition vehicle. Here we see it as a feeder structure. So these investors who cannot invest into equity, they will invest into the debt being issued by the SV. So we will set a securitization vehicle which will issue debt to these investors and which will use the proceeds received in order to invest into the fund. So the SV will be the limited partner of the fund, itself being financed by debt. This will allow these investors to indirectly be part of the fund structure and to indirectly participate to the debt acquisition itself.
Thank you, Mathieu. And Vincent, is there any particular point of attention from a tax perspective?
Yeah, this is an interesting case. In a debt activity and using the firm, as you mentioned at the beginning, if you have a firm as a partnership, transparent for tax purposes, this is a configuration that could be, again, neutral from a tax standpoint, because the transparency of the firm implies to look through, recognize the debt assets, and as long as you are in a standard debt activity or I would say non-performing loan activity within a context of a buy and hold approach, we can achieve this neutrality at the level of the securitization vehicle. And the rule that could apply, i.e. the interest limitation, in that case, will not affect the position of the securitization vehicle. But you need to consider, this is a case-by-case analysis, we need to consider, of course, the activity and the fact that you need a transparent firm. Let's take another example. If you consider having an opaque fund, in that case, you would have an issue via the interest limitation because you're going to not be in a position to look through the firm to recognize the interest income. And so in a case like this, one solution could be to envisage maybe to use not a securitization entity company, but a securitization firm, if it's something that could be workable for the investors. This is, I would say, the broad context of the tax element to take into account in that case.
I just wanted to add that this feeder structure is has been quite popular and being used by multiple investors during the last years, coming from several jurisdictions. So we had the opportunity to test it, and it worked. It works quite well.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for that. I think now I'd like to maybe go a bit beyond the fund context and look at private debt structures a bit more broadly. So the SV has been used as well on a kind of standalone basis for many years. So as a standalone investment product, holding a portfolio of debt. With the new law, or should I say the amendments to the law, we're hearing a lot about potentially having CLO structures in Luxembourg now. So this goes a bit a step further than what we are currently doing or have been doing in Luxembourg for the past years, as CLO structures were, for most of them at least, domiciled in Ireland. The question is really, is Luxembourg ready to become kind of a viable alternative to Ireland when it comes to CLO structuring? And the way I see it, the kind of key ingredients for that to happen is to have a clear and legal regulatory framework for those transactions, robust financial sector, and generally an ecosystem which is ready to welcome these structures, and obviously an adapted tax environment. So we have all of these ingredients for private debt funds and have been building that for many years. Question is really, where do we stand on the CLO side? Where do we stand to potentially tomorrow be welcoming these structures in Luxembourg? Turning to Mathieu for his views on that question.
Yeah, you mentioned first the ecosystem, and I think that the ecosystem is there and is ready. And everybody was very happy to have this new law in place. And talking to the different players, they are ready to welcome CLO structures. What we were missing was a clear possibility granted by the law to do and to perform this CLO out of Luxembourg. We saw that it was possible, but still we had some issues because it was limited in respect of active management. And so the law, which was enacted a few weeks ago, really modernized our law on securitization. So the idea of this law is to open up and to continue to modernize the law by notably allowing and clearly allowing CLOs out of Luxembourg. It means that active management will be possible or is already possible from today in respect of any debt portfolio. And so this, together with the fact that we do have the ecosystem, together with the fact that we do have assets under management of securitization vehicles being already of about 400 billions in Luxembourg, together with the fact that we do have the experience of securitization generally, creates great opportunities for Luxembourg indeed to welcome CLOs. And we see some appetites from clients in this respect. We do currently receive a lot of questions. The law was voted, as I said, only a few weeks ago, and notably from debt funds clients, because they are the natural players to be the first movers to do CLOs out of Luxembourg.
Yeah, I can confirm we see indeed a lot of interest from clients, and I think also interesting questions as we move to kind of standalone vehicles with perhaps a bit more active management. Then questions such as the AIF qualification of these structures will come up, and that will need to be further looked into indeed. All right, I think it's already time for this episode to end. So just as a very short conclusion, I think it's fair to say that we have a very kind of solid track record of working with securitization vehicles in Luxembourg, and the amended law just adds flexibility in a private debt fund structuring context, but also beyond, and looking potentially at a new market here, so the CLO market. This is all obviously in the making, so there will be a lot of new developments in that area, so something definitely to keep on the radar. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this private debt podcast. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like more information about our private debt expertise, we invite you to visit our website, www.achent.com. If you don't want to miss our latest episode, please feel free to subscribe to our podcasts, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.